There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Wednesday, this May 1st, first day of May. And yes, thank you for the birthday wishes. 15 years for FM Talk 106.5 as of today. The start, somebody said something this morning, I think during the morning show on the text line, said something about Happy May Day, comrades. Well, that's, you want to know a little inside, you know, a little inside baseball here. I could have launched a station. I've been working on it, working on FM Talk 106.5, designing it for, 6 months, better part. I had the idea for years, but while it was still a music format, I had a whole other computer system, and I was building the station, the imaging, the what it would sound like, the shows and all that stuff. And I could have launched it in probably a 5-6 day window. It would have been fine. I picked May 1st specifically to launch it because I'm a smart aleck. So on the high holiday of the communists out there, I launched FM Talk 106.5. So it was by design that it launched on May 1st back in 2009. So thank you for the – we'll read through some of these birthday wishes coming in on the text line. Thank you for listening. We're here 15 years because of y'all. It's a symbiotic relationship, and it's good stuff. So we'll get to that in the next couple of hours on the show. We'll get to our buddy Cameron Smith on from AL.com, the Triptych Foundation, the Ballad of Davy Crockett movie in just a second. Actually, I want to ask him these questions. So can we bring him on? Bring him on right now? Okay, let's check. Is Cameron on?
Cameron? I am indeed, Sean.
Okay, so I got a couple questions I was going to start off in my monologue, but we can do this together. Number one, after watching, we'll talk about what went on yesterday at college campuses, Columbia specifically. And by the way, kids that plan to riot realize that if you barricade the first door, there's always a second floor. The first question I have for you, isn't wearing the kafaya cultural appropriation? You know, you saw the students with the Palestinian scarf there, the kafaya. How do they mesh the two worlds of not using cultural appropriation, but wrapping themselves in that scarf?
Because they're inconsistent and don't care. That's how they do it. Okay. I mean, come on, they're advocating for like an Islamic caliphate and LGBTQ rights.
Yes.
I mean, Sean, are we really worried about consistency here?
Well, I you know how I am. I get off, on these tracks where I go, let's say, like, if other things are cultural appropriation, wouldn't wearing the scarf so identified with the Palestinian people, with the uprising and movement, wouldn't that be cultural appropriation? That's number one. Number two, you know, the news reports and people have been talking about, there's a certain number of students and there's also professional agitators that traveling in from out of state. Makes me think of a Springsteen song. Are they unionized, do you think? And where are they in union negotiations for professional agitators that would show up to teach the kids how to riot properly? Do you think they're unionized? Do you think they have specific hours they can work during the day? Do they have to keep a logbook? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, POW, or the Professional Agitators Union, is a well-known it's a well-known organization of which I'm considering membership as a professional agitator. Just ask about people that read my columns. And I really... The rules here, well, actually, the first rule of POW is we don't talk about POW. That's either POW or Fight Club, one of the two.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just, these are just questions I had. As when they talked about professional agitators, I could picture them coming in going, hey, I have been out there 10 hours right now. I'm supposed to have an 8-hour day. I've been out there 2 hours, and you're not playing double. You're just time and a half for overtime right now. And I think we're really not, you know, using the work laws here in New York. You're trying to make it back to the home office, and I'm really not taking this. And, you know, I'm just waiting for a strike from the professional agitators striking on their group. So I'm just, these are things.
Don't forget the humanitarian aid that's required on college campuses, where you must feed and water any weirdos on the lawn.
Well, especially if they have the meal plan.
Yes, meal plan on the lawn.
Yeah, I was planning on playing that audio here in just a little bit, y'all. It's some gold we're talking about here. We'll get to that later on in the show. All right, so let's start off with this. As we look at what happened, not just yesterday, I guess it came to a head a lot of places yesterday, but it was Monday in Texas and other schools out there. Where are the kids now? Where do you think, have they accomplished anything? I think there's a pressure going on right now with Corinne Jean-Pierre trying to explain why the Biden administration hadn't said anything. Do you think they had success? Was it a good sit-in for them?
I don't even know really what they're doing. I mean, I get the idea that they apparently want divestment of any Israeli investment or something, and some other nondescript demands. I understand, and I'm actually fine with anybody arguing that what's happening to the Palestinian people, the civilian mm-hmm. innocents in Palestine, is horrific. Because by any objective stretch, it is.
Yep.
But that is a position, that is a speech take, that is a something you say, but it's not an excuse to commandeer buildings or shout down and cancel events and do all kinds of other things that aren't protected speech. I've got a piece out on this that I've been pretty clear. We need to know the difference. Obviously, our institutions of higher education have failed utterly to explain to students what is protected by our Constitution and what is not, and we're paying the price for that right now.
Yeah, you know, you and I have not, you know, we've not talked about this beforehand, but we're coming at it from the same place. I've talked about many times that if you don't think there's something to be discussed with 30,000 plus dead Palestinians, you know, I don't know how much the IDF could do to avoid that, but that is a real talking point. And if students want to protest and do a sit-in or something like that, but when it turns into shouting at people, and the irony of this, of blocking people that are Jewish from going into school, blocking them, you know, harassing them, this, I would say, being prejudiced against them, and these people call themselves progressive, I like you said, they probably don't think it out, but I do think it out, and it absolutely is hypocrisy.
Yeah, and I'm okay with a progressive even saying in a totally insane and heinous things like I don't like the Jewish people or some awful stuff to say.
I'll defend your right speech. To say it. Yeah, absolutely.
The moment that you start blocking somebody from access to buildings, the moment you start physically engaging them, I saw at UCLA, a student was trying to go around a blockade and they chased the student down. That's criminal. That's not okay to put your hands on another student, to let your speech now impact their ability to enjoy their college experience that they're paying for. And that, to me, is where we have gone so far afoul of this being about speech. But look at the positive aspect here. These speech codes that were in place earlier that said, well, you must properly gender people. or you're going to be disciplined. If I am a student on a college campus right now and they try to enforce a speech code on me, I will point to what's happening all over the country and say, no, you're insane. The idea of you're going to restrain speech when you can't even restrain actual criminal behavior, forget it. I'm going to express my viewpoint and you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that stays with logic. You know, like if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And it is that, you know, I said this yesterday. And another one that stands out to me, if I was talking to these kids, and like I said, I'm this weird guy who's a conservative who's going to stand with their right to protest as long as they're not, harassing people physically like that. But the same argument is made that, hey, not all Palestinians are Hamas, right? And of course, they are accurate. That there's a lot of people that are just people in Gaza, that doesn't mean they're Hamas, that doesn't mean they're terrorists. Then wouldn't the same be true, that they're just harassing people because they're Jewish? They're not, it's not like IDF, you know, the IDF is coming in to take classes at Columbia. These are people that are just Jewish or at these other schools. So are you saying that just because they're Jewish, they're bad? They're the same as IDF? I mean, their argument is all wet here.
Well, let's call it what it is. I mean, they're basically arguing we don't like racism or Jews. And that to me is just the fact that you can...
I'm getting that on a throw pillow.
The fact that you can hold both of those viewpoints simultaneously is just a sign that you need mental help, because you can't genuinely hold both of those viewpoints consistently and concurrently. And that's what we're seeing. We're saying, you know, racism is the worst. It is a blight on society. We should view everything through the lens of racial justice and also not the Jews. And it's insane. It is just mindless drivel. And I think that in terms of protesting and sounding stupid, if these people want to do that, I'll protect that and argue for that. But they're taking it too far. It's going into, you know, criminal areas. And I will stand up for free speech all day long, because I know what it's like to have my speech criticized regularly.
Yep.
And there's a big difference between somebody saying, Cameron, you're an idiot, and somebody saying, well, now I'm going to attack your family, or I'm going to block you from getting into your car, or doing that. That now has taken it too far. We just have and it's a minority of students. Let's be clear here. Mm-hmm. This isn't all college students.
Correct.
It is a minority of students at certain institutions who have said, well, we can do whatever we want because we're apparently smart, privileged. I don't know, but they need to find out the hard way that the First Amendment must be protected, and so must the rule of law. And if we don't prosecute these students for criminal behavior, we're sending the message that, you know what, we don't actually care about the rule of law. All we care about is your ability to just say whatever, whenever. And that's disrespecting the Constitution itself.
Well said. Well said. And I think that is truly quote of the day, probably quote of the week here, that once again, they're against racism and also Jews. Is that...
And that's it. So call it what it is. I mean, and obviously you and I see it the same way. Well, it's just racism. Like, what you're doing is you're saying, oh, you're a Jewish person, therefore you are Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
Well, no, that is not how this works anywhere in any other context.
Right.
I mean, and pick another race. I mean, pick any race and say, let's find someone we really don't like in that race and use it as an excuse to treat everyone of that race or nationality that way. Like, and then that's just racism. That's how racism works.
But so these are the best and brightest, right? That are stocking the halls of Ivy League academia.
Yeah, when think about how much they're paying for this.
We're screwed.
I mean, I got a piece. I'm literally working on it right now, and that's my opener. We're screwed, because these are the hardest schools to get into from a quote unquote academic perspective. And yet I've loved the correlation analysis that the higher level your draft class is, the lower the chances are that you support Hamas. And that to me is sort of true. It's, well, we're the elite institutions. We know so much. Well, to borrow from Reagan, I think they know so much that isn't so. And it's become this elitist navel gazing versus preparing people for the real world and providing them with the skills they're going to need to be contributing members of society. Because from what I'm seeing, these people can't operate with anyone who disagrees with them.
Right.
And that's very concerning.
And, you know, I would say this, too, that they put a stain on the term liberal. the classical liberal. The classical liberal invites other opinions to debate. The classical liberal does not want to silence those. And when they say, well, I'm a liberal, so you shut up.
it's you can debate. And I have children that do this, and we're working on not doing it, which is we can have a discussion until I disagree with you, at which point I can no longer speak to you. And that is just poor behavior. That has nothing to do with liberalism or wanting to have a free society. It's sort of like Vladimir Putin, who says, well, we can have a free society so long as everything is approved by me. Well, that's not what freedom looks like.
This is for sure. Hey, before we wrap up, too, remind folks about the checking out the Ballad of Davy Crockett. I've given it 4 thumbs up. That's 2 for me, 2 for my boy. People want to check it out. Where do they go get it?
Go to Amazon, go to Google Play, go anywhere that you can go rent or buy movies. Guys, y'all have made this awesome. We have been running, you know, with the Top Western on Amazon, and we're really, really excited. And this sends a signal that you guys want us to engage more and push back on the culture that's, well, led to some of the stuff we're talking about today.
And also, it sets a platform up, y'all, for me to, it's really self-serving here, for me to tell Cameron, next man. Okay, think about the opening scene. We've got Daniel Boone standing at the Cumberland Gap, looking through to Kentucky, right? That's the opening scene. We roll out from there, and we expand backwards to the Atlantic seaboard, and then we show forward to Kentucky and the Native American interchange, and then we go from there with the thing. See, I'm right there in the director's chair. I've got the bullhorn and
you're
everything.
There. I'm telling you who I'm, I'll just tell you who I'm really interested in is Sam Houston. I think there's a lot there that can be just wild, and people don't know about it. In truth, people didn't know about Benjamin Franklin.
He's my man.
They did not know that he wore a coonskin cap and spectacles in Paris. They didn't know that.
That, I mean, as the kids, that's gangster. To do that. That is gangster. Yeah. Roll it up.
He's a total baller.
World class. People want to get you on social media. How do they find you?
At D. Cameron Smith on X, AL.com/opinion. Let's talk, y'all.
Good stuff, Cameron, man. As always, I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. There he goes, Cameron Smith, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1226 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Birthday style here, 15 years for FM Talk 106.5. They can give us 15 minutes back in the day, but hey, surprise, surprise, surprise. Guess who's still standing? First of all, if we can get that on a T-shirt, Cameron Smith's quote about the protesters out there, we're against racism and also the Jews. God's genius. Go check out his work at AL.com and the Tennessean and great newspapers everywhere out there. And if you do get a chance, the Ballad of Davy Crockett, great. My son's 13, always trying to find a appropriate movie that doesn't stink. I mean, sometimes there's appropriate movies that are just like the most boring thing ever. And we'll go back and watch like classics. Although it's the PG-13 of old, it was kind of a different thing, isn't it? But we'll go back and watch like, Indiana Jones and a whole bunch of other stuff and then new movies. But that, because I'm a Crockett fan, American history fan, if y'all hadn't figured that out. It was a good movie. If I'm sitting there, if it's just a straight up grown up movie, do I go, well, that actually didn't happen until 2 years after that? And but it's a great movie. Has a good moral message at the same time. It's pretty cool action stuff, and it's Davy Crockett. When he gets around to making the Daniel Boone movie, old D Boone, I'm gonna be real happy. All right, let's grab some text here and a bunch here. And yeah, I was just asking a question too, a fair question there, that kefaya, if you wear a kefaya, is that not cultural appropriation? Okay, Jay Bird says they can buy them on Temu. That Temu stuff, now that I'm saying it, my phone's probably listening, there'll be an ad, Jay Bird, for it. You can buy those scarves on there. He says Jim from Tuscaloosa, who's on my man Paul's show, Paul Feinbaum's show, is a professional agitator. We'll need to find out. If I can get Paul, I'll text Paul and see if he can see if Jim is in the Professional Agitators Union. Wouldn't you love like a comedy skit if SNL had any Stones, Cajones? They do a bit about the Professional Agitators and like checking in. But like I've been agitating. I'm already at 40 hours. We're only on Wednesday. How many hours overtime you want me to work? Where's my medical insurance? All that. If the professional agitators would unionize and then strike against the professional agitator company, and then they would unionize. I think it would be of interest. Unnamed texter says, take all the protesters, arrest them, then send them to the IRS for a full audit. I don't know the, not all that. Listen, and this is that point where I get into, like, why Cameron and I agree, and it leaves some people, you know, upset with me. They do things the correct way and do a protest. I'm going to defend their right to protest. Even if I find what they're protesting, I find it disgusting. I'm going to stand with them, their right, not stand with them there, but stand for the right to protest. But when they're getting in the faces of people and blocking their way and they're like, oh, well, he's Jewish. And y'all are supposed to be open-minded, not racist people? Let's see. Fire Dog says they got the government they deserved. Well, I've been saying that for years. And where on the Democrat color wheel does a gay, Jewish, black guy fall? I don't know. I don't know. See, that's why it's great to be me, because you're American, right? As long as you're American, do your thing. Enjoy your First Amendment rights. Just don't get in the way of another American.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. Let's give a holler to my friend Anna over at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. See if she can help us here. I'm looking at my calendar. We're just a little over a week away from Mother's Day, and if somebody doesn't have a gift, I know a place to send them. Anna, what do you have to direct us to for Mother's Day gifts?
Well, I actually have been selling a lot of these 1 ounce silver bars. They have a cute design on the front where they say, like, you know, beloved mother, you know, with all my love, something like that. It's very Mother's Day-like. And the back is engravable, so you could personalize it. And there's also a silver round if you don't like the bar shape.
Very good. All right. And what about, you? We talked about this the other day, and it may be counterintuitive, but y'all, it's a winner. I've done this before. Open L knives. And it's not just, well, Sean loves, yeah, I do love open L knives. But the kits I've given a gardening kit to my mother, and also a kitchen kit. Talk about those. You have those in stock?
Yes, I have plenty of those available. The garden sets are great for any mother that likes to garden, or, you know, even just plant, not even like gardens, but just flowers. You know, anybody that spends any time outside on the porch or just in their front yard, you know, decorating. And then there's also kitchen sets, and these are great because you wouldn't have to sharpen them. I never had anybody come back and said, hey, these have been, you know, gone dull, just like the ones that you would get anywhere else. They end up dull within a month or two of use.
All right. Tell folks how to come check out the gifts for mom and how to find y'all, I guess, in the real world or IRL, what the kids say, and online. How do they do it?
Yes, sir. So online, it would be mobilebaycoins.com or Facebook. You can look us up that way. Instagram. And we are physically located at 2204 Government Street, and we're just a block from Little Flower Catholic School.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right. There goes Anna from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yeah, those open L kits are a go-to. And the nice thing is, too, if you do use your open L knives enough, you know, to dull them, because that happens when you use a knife and you like them, they sharpen real easily. You don't have to even get the Lansky kit out and all that kind of stuff. You can just with the regular whetstone get them done. All right. Back to the text. Let's clear through these. Tuskers. What's up, Tuskers? Said, what's happening is hate, not peaceful protest. There's probably a mix, right? There's a mix. There's people there that are protesting. Listen, I could see that if you want to say, hey, why are we supporting Israel in this war and not other places, or, you know, this is too much, the United States needs, those are things that can be debated. Those are things I think that you, if you're protesting that, that's fine. I may not agree with you, but it's still fine. But what, like Tuskers is saying, there's a lot of hate going on. And that's the part of it that we need to focus on. right? The other people protesting at you, that's one of the great things about our country, right? It's a good thing. Now, of course, somebody's going to say, well, try that in some other country. Why are they hoisting a flag of a country that wouldn't let you protest? Because it's our, we have the right to First Amendment, right? Even if it is not logical, even if it's hypocrisy, you still got the right to do it. You just don't have the right to be harassing other human beings while you're saying, hey, we're against racism and the Jews too. Let's see, Tony from Sims said, I think the protesters unknowingly played into Israel's hands. Now nobody's talking about the tens of thousands of dead non-combatants. They're only talking about the protesters. Some degree, we talk about both of it, both things. I think both things are valid to discuss. But yeah, maybe for a day or two, it'll be in the news cycle. And then they'll, you know, one will be more discussed than the other one. And I'll say this, you're going to get a lot of this on cable news because it makes good video, right? It makes good video. You have video of things, they're dramatic. You can have the split screen with the thing going on, and then you can have the commentator commentating on what's happening. It's made for TV, right? So it will get more play. Versus they don't have embedded reporters with IDF in Gaza. So that kind of information is getting out on social media feeds, but not coming to the cable news networks being, you know, broadcast all day and all night. Let's see here. Mr. Plot, Dirty Harry said, racists are lazy. I remember this. It doesn't take that much research to find out a reason to hate somebody on purely individual basis. Yep, that's or like them as well. But yes, Mr. Plot, you're right. I completely agree with that sentiment. People, you know, say, when I ever hear somebody go, oh, those people do this, or all these people do this, I go, you've not used any of your brain cells, have you? Now, do some of those people do that? Sure. And Irish Indian, happy birthday and many more. Cameron is very good. He is good. He's funny. Now, he upsets people, but he is he's a funny dude. I like him. He's a great dad, great human. All right, let's see. Unnamed texture. The stuff that went down yesterday with Chief Prine is another reason I'm glad I moved out of Mobile. And I still support Mobile with sales tax on purchases I make for my business, but I'm slowly fixing to migrate completely out of Mobile. And like you, I know Sandy and his family, and I think it's a crock of blank. Oh, dirty Mobile politics has raised its head again. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit. What happened yesterday. And Erica Thomas and I are going to talk about it as well, coming up after 1 o'clock. Let's see. John said, no, not the brightest and smartest. Rich legacy kids who are easily led by professional anarchists and kids from the Middle East whose universities love because they pay full plus tuition. College students used to age out of this, but now they're adults having coddled them into believing what they say is more important anyway. America will be fine. John, you bring up something that I guess I knew in my soul, but it wasn't until Cam Marston, who you'll hear tonight, What's Working with Cam Marston. Yeah, he's spoken about this before with me. He was speaking about it. We were at a convention up in, where was that? We're up in Montgomery, I think. And he was giving a speech. He's such a great, I mean, he's great on the radio. He's such a great, great speaker in person. I mean, obviously world class. He flies around the country speaking to groups. But he made a point. When we like to point out and say, the kids, this next generation, those kids don't do this and those kids don't do that, which I could find myself doing. You know who's to blame there? Us, their parents. They weren't born that way. You made them that way. And pendulums, you know, swing back and forth with parenting styles. And people say, well, I'll never do it that way. And then they get the result being this. And then over a couple of generations, they'll go, well, we got to correct that. And it goes back the other way. But we have to look at ourselves, right? Look at ourselves in the mirror. And the kids acting like this. And like John said, maybe they've been coddled so much that it leads to that. But it is when we talk about that next generation, those kids in that next generation, well, those kids in that next generation or two generations past or another generation, you know, beyond that, were raised by us. Although you actually rear children, you raise livestock, but I'm not going to get into semantics. Let's see, the unnamed texter. It may be worth noting entrance requirements for these prestigious universities have been greatly relaxed as far as the best and brightest. Maybe it's just the opposite. Let's see. Lisa said, Sean, if you start having Jim and such from Paul's show in your show, then I'm going to have to leave you after 15 years. Good grief. Yeah, I don't have them. Those are, he would not, He would not share those colors with me. Very nice. So, Chris in Orange Beach. Hey, brother, happy birthday to you and the station. Believe me, I know your dad was very proud of you and what you've accomplished. Thank you, man. Thanks. Miss him every day. Big time. Doug, he said, are you talking about the DC version with Fess Parker or Clint Walker? I may have them mixed up from when I was a kid. I'm thinking Dirty Harry, right? That's what I'm thinking. I never saw the comic. I was not a big comic book person, so I know movies, some of them. Thank you, Supermom. Happy birthday to the station that keeps this neck of the woods enlightened and informed. Many thanks. Fire Dog, now easy. Fire Dog says, was Dalton in grade school when 106.5 started? I think he was, actually. He was indeed. It's a good thing. He is wise beyond his years. Dalton and his work ethic and his ability will knock you over. And so many things we just, you know, when he came in to this station, and he came in and dropped off a resume. I remember I was beyond the first 10 years of the station. I mean, I essentially lived here. And he came in and dropped off a resume. I was like, okay, guy, go away. I'll look at this later. And then he came in again to check up. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, come back and see me next week on Tuesday. You know, I made up some kind of, I don't have time right now, kid. Go away. Whatever time and date I had said, he was there 10 minutes before, sitting waiting. And I took a look at the resume, talked to the guy and said, you know, where have you been all my life? And he was on board pretty soon after that. He's an amazing, amazing human. And peanut butter and jelly, man. Peanut butter and jelly go together great. Don says, good afternoon, Sean. One thing I think a lot of people are afraid to face is how this is truly now an engaged holy war. We continue to feel the ripple effects that here in our nation. It is incumbent upon us, however, the United States citizens, to respect the right of others, just as you said, as long as they exercise the right way. Just as a loving parent does not give up on their prodigal son or daughter, it is our responsibility to continue to be a light to the rest of the world because of who we are, God-fearing, God-loving nation. Yep, and Don, remember, the prodigal son will get celebrated big time when they show back up. Just have to, somebody go find a fattened calf and we'll be ready for him. Let's see, Dirt Digger. Every race, gender, and religion has bad apples. Can't judge a whole group by the bad ones. Correct. That's just being open-minded. And, by the way, we share a birthday. So IT Jesus and the station share a birthday. Very good. Well, happy birthday to you, IT Jesus. And, Keith in Agricola says, good job, Dalton. You could say that every day, and it would be true. So, yeah, good job, Dalton, for sure. And all the other folks here that make FM Talk 106.5 what it is. And, yeah, we've grown a whole bunch since the early days when I was doing three shows a day. I think even my mother said, you know, we've had enough of you by the end of the day. Let's back it off. And then I went to two and then just the one show. But, yeah, we've grown big time. I'll tell you how you can support us on our birthday here. And let's get some birthday. Can we get some birthday music? Let's fire up some. You got fancy birthday music here? Okay. Oh, yeah, that's real good. Whose Casio keyboard is this? Okay. On our birthday, I asked for this gift. On the day of your daughter's wedding. On our birthday, I asked for this gift. Nappy voting just opened up today. So over at votenappies.com, FM Talk 106.5 in the media voting, which we're in a bunch of categories in media. If you'll go over there, you can vote for us in media for a bunch of categories and just radio station, talk shows, specialty shows, all those things. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for because I love it, but there's lots of our shows competing against each other, which is not existent for all the other radio stations, but we got so many folks that we fight amongst ourselves. That's fine. Vote your heart. Just make sure your heart tells you it's somebody with FM Talk 106.5. VoteNappies.com opened up, and we appreciate your votes there. And by the way, too, we'll figure out a way to pay you for them. I'm saying that out loud, so it's really not a felony, is it? Yeah, we'll figure it out. Coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All
right, 1253 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you for the text. Y'all are kind. 343-0106, phone call or a text. And remember, you can always leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Microphone icon on the front page of that screen. If you'll press that, you can record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. Well, thank you, Jimmy. I know this man, Jimmy and Baymanette, said, I remember when I could listen to you on my way to work in the mornings, then at lunchtime, and on my way home from work in the afternoon. That's right. It was Mobile Mornings, Midday Mobile, and The Drive, that show I used to do from 5 to 6. Yeah, three a days back in the day. David said, did Dalton tell you he was a Tennessee fan in that first interview? He did not. That's why he got a chance to be part of the staff. Dirt Digger said, happy birthday to the station. Like I told Jeff, you, Sean, are the Nick Saban of talk radio. You know, top talented people. This is why the station's the best talk radio station in Alabama. Thank you for turning up our voices. Thank y'all. And I appreciate that, Dirt Digger, but I appreciate all y'all, because this is the only reason we get to do this, is because y'all are out there and y'all listen. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, not just all of us, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about myself right here and Leanna sitting right through the wall from me here. Or the folks in the back, and Tina and Celeste and Lauren and everybody. Listen, our families are, you know, we get to have a life and have families because of y'all. So thank you. We really do appreciate it. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit, we'll talk a lot maybe next hour, what went down yesterday with Mobile City Council. I do want to talk about a little bit of Montgomery from yesterday. So if, you know, I think I heard it when I talked to Representative Chip Brown on Monday's show. Remember that? If you you can go back and listen to the podcast from the 1 o'clock hour on Monday. And he seemed to be not, I don't think he's being coy, but I came into it saying like, hey, there's no way y'all are going to get this gambling thing done, right? There's no way you're going to get this done. And it was like, meh, maybe. And so maybe some things had started turning in that group that was meeting beforehand, before they even got onto the floor on Tuesday. So this is from 1819 News. It says new legislation would require, if this what went through yesterday, would require the governor to enter into a compact with the Porch Banda Creek Indians. So we've talked about this before. So yesterday, Alabama House of Representatives voted to concur with a conference committee, substitute bills legalizing an education paper lottery and electronic games of chance at specified locations while excluding the originally planned casino and sports betting provisions. And this is one of the things I was stuck on, because having talked to members of the House that passed pretty quickly that legislation out, and then hearing from, I remember Senator Albritton coming on and saying the changes they've made in the Senate were really big changes to what the House was talking about. And the vibe I was getting out of Montgomery is the two sides are too far apart. Maybe not. So this legislation that's being moved right now here at the very end of session, of course, duh, that's how it's done. This would have those things happen, and also governor entering into the compact. You know, we heard the discussion of PCI being in a compact with the state as far back as Bentley. Goes on in the article to say, after months of debate, the House and Senate conferees met at the tail end of the legislative session Tuesday and hammered out an agreement on the highly controversial gambling legislation. Yeah, we'll put it that way. And you know, my controversies with it are not even the ones that I think most people, mine's the base of this. This idea of limiting who can get into this business. And you can limit it through licensing. You can limit it through compliance with the rules. You can limit it with, you know, the money it takes to do this, but we're picking winners and losers here once again in Alabama. It goes on to say there's two bills under debate. HB 151, that's the one we've been talking about. That's the CA, the constitutional amendment, that would change the Constitution and say, okay, you can have gambling. The other one, the supporting legislation, House Bill 152, would now authorize provisions legalizing electronic gaming in specific locations. This could be probably that stupid horse race thing. A statewide education lottery. It's for the kids. Once again, let me suggest this. I've done it for a decade now. If we're going to have a lottery, let the lottery be, Alabama be different than all the other states. Alabama's prison lottery. We use the lottery to pay for the prison build. And in addition, PCI compact for an unspecified location, which I'm sure is going to be in Northeast Alabama somewhere. It says HB 152 no longer contains casino gaming and sports betting from the original. How much lobbying the sports betting had, I don't know, but the casino gaming portion of it, I think, had substantial lobbying. So it's interesting that that is out, and I wonder how that will be taken in the Senate. Said the House handily passed both bills with the conference committee substitute Tuesday evening, while the Senate failed to reach the necessary 21 votes required to pass HB 151. So that's the original. That's the CA. The Senate then carried the bill over and may vote later this week. So they were just one vote short in that. So we'll talk more about how close the two sides might be, the House and Senate, on this next hour. Also, how far apart the sides are in the city of Mobile. We'll do that with Erica Thomas from 1819 News. It's coming up next right here on Midday Mobile.